He makes wars to cease until the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. And I don't know what it was, but something just riveted my heart about these verses talking about the power of God. That God has the ability to make wars to stop. He has the ability to break the bow, to cut the spear, and to burn the chariot.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Never Let Them See You Sweat. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Never Let Them See You Sweat.
The city of Jerusalem was under attack, and it was under attack by the enemy. And God is reassuring the city of Jerusalem that I'm with you, that I will, when the enemy comes, I will make the war to cease, that when the enemy comes, I will break the bow, that when the enemy comes, I will burn the chariot. And as we look at this song, I just very briefly want to talk to you this morning on three things about don't let them see you sweat. Three reasons we can have poise and confidence during a crisis. Now, when you think about a crisis, crisis comes in many shapes, forms, and ways. So I just wanted to run through some of them real quick from the Bible. We see that death is a crisis. Martha and Mary experienced a crisis when their brother Lazarus died. Loss of possessions can preempt a crisis. Job lost everything that he had. He lost his possessions, he lost his family, and he lost his health. And if you don't know what a crisis situation is, my brothers and sisters, that is definitely a crisis situation. Tamar, one of the children of David, was raped by her brother. That's a crisis situation. Christians in the book of Hebrews were going through persecution. That is a crisis. In the book of Philippians, we see Aphrodite was dealing with illness. That was a crisis. Joseph, who was the stepfather of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was dealing with a crisis situation when he found out that the woman that he was engaged to be married to, that she was pregnant. You know, Joseph was dealing with a crisis. Thank God for the angel, right? Because only an angel could have gave him that reassurance. I think if a brother would have came off the street and said, look, man, you know, everything is cool, man. You know, she didn't know a man. Joseph would have said, yeah, right. Only an angel. So Joseph was definitely dealing with a crisis situation. Family drama between Jacob and Esau, natural disasters, and a very interesting story in the book of Luke where a tower fell on 18 people that Jesus talks about, a current event during his day where 18 people lost their lives when this tower collapsed. And can you imagine their family that they were dealing with a crisis? The man who was robbed on the Jericho Road, he was dealing with the crisis because he was beaten and left for dead. We see that Samson was dealing with a wife who had been unfaithful. He was dealing with marital infidelity. That's a crisis situation. Relationship issues between David and his wife, and then being bullied. Hannah was being bullied by Peninnah, the other wife of her husband. And so, maybe a situation that you are in is up there right now. Maybe a situation that you have been is up there right now. Maybe you're going through something today that's not up there right now. Whatever the case might be, I want to give you three reasons why we can go through our crisis with poise and confidence. And reason number one is because we have a shelter in the time of a crisis. Shelter in the time of a crisis. Look what it says here. God is our refuge. And the word refuge means shelter. God is our strength. That means he is our might. That he is a very present help. That means that he is our ready assistant in the time of trouble, in the time of crisis. That we have a shelter in the time of crisis. And so the psalmist paints a picture now because he wants us to see what it means to have a shelter, to have a refuge, to have a strength. He gives us a very pointed picture. And I've shared this passage on many occasions before, but this is this should grip your hearts. Because what the psalmist is doing, he's taking some of life's most difficult and devastating catastrophes, and he's saying that this is the worst things, these are the worst things that can happen. Verse 2, he says, therefore, we will not fear though the earth be removed. That's earthquakes. When the earth is removed, that's talking about an earthquake. And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. So when you think about mountains, when are the mountains carried into the midst of a sea? A volcano. When a volcano erupts. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. He's talking about tsunamis here. And though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. What makes the mountains shake? Hurricanes. That when you see hurricanes blowing at 150 mile an hour winds, and you see these mountains just shaking, the trees on the mountains, the vegetations on the mountains. The psalmist is giving to us some of life's most devastating catastrophes. And he's saying that these are the same situations that happen in our lives. The adultery, the rape, the family problems, the financial issues. That he's saying that look at these things. What can be worse than this? But you know what's beautiful about this passage? It's a beautiful thing. Look what let's go back to verse 1, right? Let's go back to verse 1. God is our refuge and strength. God is our shelter. God is our might. He is a very present. God doesn't show up tomorrow when you are in a crisis. He might not make his presence known until tomorrow, but he doesn't show up tomorrow. He is a very present help in trouble. Now notice the connecting word, therefore. Whenever you see that word, therefore, you know what question that you should ask? Oh man, we got some sharp people here this morning. We got some Bible scholars here this morning. Whenever you see the word therefore, you should ask the question, what is it there for? What is he saying? I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to fret. That in spite of all these devastating situations, I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to fret because God is my refuge and my strength. God is my hiding place. Some of you walked with me many years ago when my reputation was being maligned, when I was being attacked, and some of you know what I'm talking about, and it was made known throughout the city. Some of the things that I was being accused of, and even things that were said against my family. And those are some very hurtful things. That was a very hurtful time. But I just think about the fact that God was my refuge and my strength. God was my refuge and my strength. A very present help in the time of trouble. One songwriter put it like this. I could have lost my mind. Wanted to give up so many times. But God was my anchor, a consistent way maker. Yes, God covered me. When the enemy came against me, attacked my body and my ministry, what God ordains, he will maintain. Thank God, he covered me. Your hand of protection was all around me. If not for your grace and your mercy, thank God. Thank God. He covered me. We see a shelter in the time of a crisis. The next thing we see, I love this right here. I love this. Intervention in the time of a crisis. Intervention in the time of a crisis. Look at verses 4 through 7. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The nations rage. The kingdom was removed. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. If you can picture this in your mind, going back to verses 2 and 3, you have earthquakes. You have tsunamis. You have volcanoes. You have hurricanes. All these things going on around the holy city, right? The enemy is coming in. All these devastating catastrophes are coming in. And right through all of that, right in the middle of all that, is a river. And the river, the Bible says, is unmoved. Can you, what? You, hurricanes, tsunamis, volcanoes, earthquakes, and the river is still, the river is at peace. That don't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. When you go through things and you have the peace of God, and people look at you and people say, that don't make any sense. Your whole world is crumbling in around you. But you got peace. Why? Because of the river. And God is in the river. And the river shall not be moved. Notice, the second point is what? Intervention. Intervention. That whatever your crisis situation is, God steps in. God steps in. When we moved from Virginia here to Pittsburgh, we had sold our house in Virginia, and the realtor down there told us that we were going to receive $3,200 in the closing. And we bought a house up here, and we needed $4,800 at the closing. So we went, took our family down to Virginia for the last time, packed up our house, put it in the U-Haul, and our kids were of age at that point where we could, you know, leave them in the house. And we went to the realtor's office, and we closed on our house and got $3,200, a check. All the time I'm thinking, in Pittsburgh, we need $4,800. So anyhow, we drove from Lynchburg to Pittsburgh, and we had to be back here at 4 o'clock in the North Hills to close on our house. About a 6.5-7 hour ride. I think TL does it in about 5 hours. 4 hours. All the way I'm thinking, $4,800. You know, where in the world are we going to get $4,800 on the ride from Lynchburg to Pittsburgh? I said, man, you're going to get there, and you're going to be sitting in front of these people, and you're going to look like the biggest fool in the world when they sit, ask you where your check is or where your money is for $4,800. So I'm just thinking this all the way. We get there. We sit down. I'm looking at my wife. She's looking at me. We know we only got a check for $3,200. And I thought to myself, man, this is going to be, we're going to look like idiots sitting here. So we went through everything, and it came to the end. And they said, Mr. Glaze, we need $3,200 from you. And what had happened is that the price changed that day as far as what we needed to close. And they had called, and my kids were at the house, and they answered the phone, and they told my kids to tell us that we only needed $3,200. But you know how kids are, right? And so they didn't say anything. And when we got here, $3,200. Has he ever made a way when you didn't have a dime? Has he ever stepped in just right on time? Just right on time. Intervention in a crisis. Look at this also. Verse 6, the nations raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob. The Lord of hosts, that word Jehovah Sabaoth, the God of the armies. There's no army that's mightier than God's army. The Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies is with us, the God of Jacob, the God who delivered them out of Egyptian bondage is with us. Then look what it says here. Look what it says here. At the end of every service, we have a thing in the bulletin. It's called the Selah moment. Now, some people have said that term Selah was a musical term, that it means at the end of that particular song that you would go up in intonation or you could come down in intonation. But there's one explanation that says the word Selah means meditate. Think about this. Ponder this. Ponder this river. And that this river is unmoved because God is in the midst of the river. Think about this. And that leads me to my last point. And my last point is this. Relaxation in the time of a crisis. Relaxation in the time of a crisis. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. And this is what arrested me. He makes wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, he cutteth the spear in sunder, he burneth the chariot with fire. And then the psalmist says, be still. And know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And you see there where it says, behold the works of the Lord? Let me share with you 5 things about why we should behold the works of the Lord. 5 reasons to behold the works of the Lord. Number one, right? They are worth beholding. Oh, man, I thought I might get a little more support on that one right there. Reason number one, they are worth beholding. Reason number two, watch this. Our eyes were given for this very purpose. Deacon Corbin, He talked about breaking every chain this morning, and some people are addicted to pornography, right? God didn't create your eyes to behold that. God created your eyes to look at his creation. God, that's why God gave you eyes, to look at his creation. The Lord knows his works are excellent and perfect, and he wants everybody to look at them. Only his creation, you are God's creation, only his creation can behold him. And then there is great benefit in beholding the works of the Lord. God said, behold, behold, look at the works. Look at what I have done on the earth. And you know what? When you look at what I have done, then you can do what? Can you put that picture back up there again? When you look at what I have done, you can relax. Lady was up all night, worried about this, worried about that. And finally, she turned to God in prayer. And God said, you can stop worrying now. I got this. I got this. That when we behold the works of the Lord, when you go back and look at how he gave you a check for $3,200 when you thought you needed $4,800 and the $32 was sufficient, when you behold the works of the Lord, you can relax. Relaxation during a time of crisis. I'm not saying be irresponsible. I'm not saying to be neglectful. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying when you've done all that you can do, you can relax during the crisis. And to nail this point on the head, he says, be still and know that I'm God. And you know what? Let me say this, and then I'm going to give my final illustration, and I'm done. Let me say this. I'm going to give my final illustration, and I'm done. So that means I'm going to preach another 15. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this. That when you are relaxing, not being irresponsible, not being negligent, but when you are relaxing during the time of a crisis, what did God say? God said, I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. That you will be a witness and testimony to those around you. That when they look at you and they say, how can you remain so focused and have peace? Because you're relaxing in the Lord. Relaxation during the time of a crisis. If you could put up that, just go to the next one. You got to be like the duck, right? Calm on the surface, but always paddling underneath. Prayer. Bible reading. Fellowship with the saints. Getting into the word of God. Praising the Lord. Man, you paddling like crazy underneath. But on top. Never let us see you sleep.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of Burnout. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Never Let Them See You Sweat, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Never Let Them See You Sweat. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Never Let Them See You Sweat. or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.